Begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Mem Aleph. We begin 5 lines from the top. The Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah daf Mem Amud Beis that said, "Hoy lefan of minim harbe." If someone had many different types of species of food in front of him, and there we had a machlekes in the Mishnah whether one would have to make a bracha, as Rabbi Yehuda said, on one of the shivas aminim first, or as the Chacham said, if you can make a bracha on whichever one is the one that you like, that one is the one that you could say first. Now the Gemara explains this machlekes of our Mishnah. Ama Ula. Machlekes Bishop Bechasei and Shabbos, the whole machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, when you have many different types of food in front of you, if you have to make a bracha, one of the Shivas Aminim first, or whichever one you want to first, that's only if the brachas are the same. That is, for example, let's say you have olives and you have apples, and both of them are Bori Pura Eitz, and then you want to make a bracha on one of them, that the other one should be exempted with that. That is where we have machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Min Shiva Adif, where Rabbi Yehuda says that one of the Shivas Aminim is better, and therefore you make a bracha on the olive. Rabban Savi Min Chavadav, that the one that you favor better, that's the one that you make a bracha on. And therefore you would make a bracha on the apple. And that is because when the Mishnah says the Ezish Yirtzah, whichever one you want, it means the one that's more chaviv to you, the one that you like better. Aval b'sheim b'chasein Shabbos, but Ula says where the brachas are not the same, where they're two different brachas, there everyone would agree that whichever one you say first, it doesn't make a difference, because first you would have to make a bracha on one, and then the bracha on the other. They're not talking about what the order is. Rather, if you're going to make one bracha, and you're not going to be able to make on the other one, that's where their machlekes is, which one you should make it on. But if you're going to make anyways either one, and that one bracha will not exempt the other one, so then there's no machlekes. And although the Mishnah on Daf Mem says that Berech al Peir Se'il and Berech Pri Adam HaYotze, if you make a bracha on something that grows from a tree, if you make a Berech Pri Adam on that your Yotze, that's only when there is only one item in front of you and you made a mistake and you made it a Berech Pri Adam. But if you have, for example, a radish and the olive, and you made a bracha on the radish, a Berech Pri Adam, then you would not be exempting the olive, which is a Berech Pri Adam. And therefore, there's no machlekes. There, everybody agrees whichever one you do, it doesn't make a difference, because you're going to ultimately make a bracha on each one of them anyway. So Rosh Gemara asks on this interpretation of Ula regarding the machlekes in our Mishnah Meisvei. We learned to Yilafon of Tznoin Bezayis. We had this exact case of a radish and the olive, which the radish is by Peradama and the olive is by Peretz, that says, Mavarach al Tznoin, the Poitras Azayis. It says that you can make a bracha on the radish, which is by Peradama, and you could exempt the olive, that we see that it is inclusive, and that making a bracha by Peradama would exempt the by Peretz of the Zayis. So therefore, why does Ula say that when one is by Peradama, one is by Peretz, that there's no machlekes, because everyone would agree you would make both brachas anyway? We see over here that it's not true that you make a bracha on the radish and that it would exempt the Berech Pri Eitz of the Zayis, because ultimately it comes from the ground and it's included in Berech Pri Adama. So the Gemara answers that that's talking about a specific case. That's talking about where the radish is the primary ingredient, and that's why you began to eat. And you only ate the olive to, so to speak, take away from the sharpness of the radish. So that's included in the klal of that the olive is, so to speak, a tuffel, it's secondary. And as the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalet says, that kol shu ikar b'mitfeila, whenever you have a primary ingredient with a secondary ingredient, you only make a bracha on the ikar, on the primary, and it exempts the tuffel. And that is why you won't make a bracha on the olive. But of course, if you were eating it both because you want to eat them independently, so then you would have to make a separate bracha on the zayis, and it would not be exempted because of the Berech Pri Adama. It's only because of the other halacha of ikar and tuffel. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, let's see the sefer. And that brisa which we just quoted, that sefer, the end of it says that Rabbi Yehuda says that you make a bracha on the olive because the olive is one of the shivas aminim. So the Gemara's question is, if you're saying that it's talking about a case that the olive is a tuffel, it's secondary to the radish, and it's only being eaten, so to speak, to take away from the sharpness of that. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold to this klal, this mission that says that whenever you have a primary ingredient and the secondary, you only make a bracha on the tznoin, on the radish, which is the main, and that it would exempt the tuffel, and therefore he holds not like that, and he says you have to make a bracha on the tuffel. And then the Gemara says and follows through, and if you want to say that is correct, he argues on that halacha, and he says, no, you have to make a bracha both on the primary and on the secondary ingredient. But v'atani, we learned in the Braisa, if because of the radish, that's why you're having the olive, again, just to take away the sharpness of it as secondary, he concedes, he agrees that you would only make a bracha on the radish and exempt the olive. So therefore, how can we say that Bryce is talking about, that it's talking about that it's the primary is the radish and the secondary is the olive? That's why you don't make a bracha on it. Now, why would Rabbi Yehuda argue and say that because it's one of the Shabbos Amin, you would have to? But he holds to that halacha of Ikra and Tafel. So the Gemara says that La'olam b'tznoin Ikra skinan. It is, as we said, that the radish is the primary ingredient. And that is why you don't make a bracha on the olive because it's secondary to it. And then how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda who argues? This phrase of Rabbi Yehuda that he argues on the radish, on the olive, is going on something else, and there are words missing from that braisa of Hachikitani. This is the way it's supposed to be said. If he had in front of him a radish and an olive, so therefore you make a bracha on the radish and you exempt the olive. And that is that is talking about when the radish is the primary ingredient. And therefore the olive is a tuffle, it's secondary, and therefore it's patur. But if the radish is not the primary, as Ula said, that there everybody would agree, that nobody argues, as Ula said, that there's no machlokes between Yehuda and the Chacham, that you'd make a bracha on one, whichever one, and then on the other one, because one's a Pei Adam, one's a Pei Pri Eitz. So where is this machlokes that Rabbi Yehuda was arguing? However, v'shnei min ba'alma, shebechasein shavas, when you have two different types of fruits that have and share the same bracha, for example, if you have an olive and an apple, there the brachas are the same, and one of them is from the Shivas Aminim, and one is not, there's where we have machlik is similar to our Mishnah. As Ula says, Mevarach, the Tanakhama says, Mevarach al Ezmen Shayir. So you can make a bracha on whichever one you want, which is as it was said in our Mishnah. If you don't mean Mevarach al Azayis, you make a bracha on the olive, Shazayis Mimin Shiva, because the olive is one of the Shivas Aminim of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's the same as it says in our Mishnah, therefore it's not a challenge to Ula from that brisa, because ultimately it's being interpreted the same as our Mishnah. They only argue if they have the same bracha. Different brachas, he says, no one argues, because everyone agrees you're going to ultimately make a bracha on it anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. However, the Gemara says that pligi barib ami reb yitzchak nafka, there was a machlekes amiram, how to interpret the machlekes in our Mishnah. Chadam a machlekes b'shev b'chasein Shabbos. One says that the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chum was only if they have the same bracha, which is similar to the interpretation that we brought down from Ula. That is Rabbi Huda Sava min Shiva Adar. Rabbi Huda says that it's better to make the one bracha you're going to make on the Shiva Saminim. Rabbanan Savi min Chava Adar. Rabbanan say the one bracha you're going to be making should be on the fruit that you like, and therefore you can make it on the apple, even though there's an olive. Ava b'she'en b'chasein Shabbos, but if the brachas are not the same, one's a b'ri p'ri eitz, one's a b'ri p'ri adama, like a radish and a olive, there they're akol mevarach hazeh, v'chez mevarach hazeh, everyone would agree that you're going to make a bracha on one and then the other, so it doesn't make a difference. That's how we understood it up until now as Ulatz. However, Chadama, one of these Amiram, he said that Af b'she'en b'chasein Shabbos, not machlekes. Machlekes in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakam is even if the brachas are not the same. And now the Gemara explains. Bishlam elam adama b'she'en b'chasein Shabbos, machlekes shapers. Therefore, according to the one that says that the machlekes is only when they have the same bracha, so it's as we said, that which one is the more chashav one, that the one bracha you're going to make should be on it. But according to the one that we're saying right now, that the machlekes in our Mishnah is even if the brachas are not the same. But my pligi, what are they arguing about? Obviously, you can't exempt one with the other's bracha, because a fruit needs a fruit from a tree needs a bari pri eitz, and a fruit from the ground, in other words, a vegetable, it needs a bari pri adama. So what would be the machlekes? Which one? You're going to make both brachas anyway. That this manda amma was learning up the machlekes in our Mishnah was that which one comes first. Whichever one comes earlier in this pasuk that the Gemara is going to bring, which talks about the Shivas Aminim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, Muktim LeBracha, it's the one that comes first regarding the Bracha. And that is that we see that there is a Hakpada, there is that we care about the order, the preference of what the order of the what you're going to make a Bracha on first. That is, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, that there's an order, and therefore, if there's an order in the Shivas Aminim itself, then definitely where one is from the Shivas Aminim, one is not, then definitely there you make a bracha on one of the type that's the Shivas Aminim. However, there are banan, they don't hold like Rabbi Yitzchak when there's something that's chav that's precious to you, and therefore chav v'zadef, even if one of them is Shivas Aminim. As the Gemara brings Shanim, as it says in the Pasuk, Eretz, that it's a land, in other words, reference to Eretz Yisrael, of chita, of wheat, of sa'ir, and barley, or geffen, and grapes, of te'ena, and figs, v'rimon, and pomegranates. Eretz, it's a land of zayis, shemen, of olive oil, of dvash, and honey. that comes from dates. So therefore, we see that this is the proper order. So therefore, if you have wheat and barley, or you have grapes, you would make a bracha first on wheat. If you have pomegranates and figs, you would first make a bracha on figs. Again, because the order of the pasuk makes the difference which one comes first. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was saying, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that not only that, so therefore, if one of them is Shabbos Aminim, so one is an olive and one is not, so definitely you would make a bracha first on the Shabbos Aminim and then on the radish. Although you're going to be making both brachas, it makes a difference what the order is. And that is machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, if it's only by, it's not only by Shavuos, but even if there's different brachas regarding the order that it's done. However, the Gemara says, this statement that we just brought from Rabbi Yosef, or some say in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, argues on Rabbi Chanan in how he interprets the pasuk. Because Rabbi Yitzchak learned that the pasuk was telling you an order of the preference of how the bracha should be made. And that is why we're telling you the praises of Eretz Yisrael, that each one is, so to speak, this is the greatest, and then it goes lower and lower, that these are the chashav peres. And that's how we know the order of the chashivas. But Rabbi Chanan, he says the pasuk is not telling you the shvach of the chashivas, of the peres, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael regarding its taste. Rather, it's the praise of Eretz Yisrael that it has fruits, that all the different measurements of the Torah depend on these fruits. And since that's the case, the Torah was not makbid, was not particular about the order that the fruit should be eaten, and therefore they're all the same, and therefore it wouldn't make a difference to have the bracha on the Shabbos Aminim before one of the other Shabbos Aminim, as the Gemara brings. The whole entire pasuk of Eretz Chitus, Eretz Gefen Teina was coming to tell you the different measurements that there in halacha, that it has to be specifically like these food items that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, and not for the hakdama, not to say which one comes first. As the Gemara brings, chita, wheat, what has a measurement of wheat? Ditnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, this is regarding the tumma of a beis hamanuga, a house that gets a halacha of tumma. It says in the Torah of a habol abayis yitma adarv, that whoever comes into the house of a house that has a nega, that has a tsaras affliction on it, that he will be tummy until the evening. And it says, it doesn't say that he has to wash his clothing. But then there's a different pasuk that says, whoever eats in the house, not only that he entered in it, he has to wash his clothing. So the Gemara darshans that it doesn't mean he eats, that means that he waited there the amount of time it takes to eat, even if he didn't eat, from the fact that it says at the end of that pasuk, whoever sleeps in that house, he has to wash his clothing, that's even without eating. So therefore, someone that enters into it, into that house, and he's carrying his clothing with him, and that is, he's not wearing it, so then there doesn't have a din of begadim. They become tummy right away because that's also included in v'habala b'yis, whatever comes into the house. But when he's wearing them, then it would have to wait the amount of time it takes to eat, and then the clothing would become tummy, but not before that. So that's what the Gemara brings. It's now we learn in the Mishnah, hanechnes l'beis hamanuga, that someone that enters a tsaras afflicted house, the kelev al k'seifav, and his garments are on his shoulders, v'sandele v'taba'oise b'yadav, and there his shoes and his rings are in his hands. In other words, he's not wearing them, he's carrying them. So hu vehein tamei miyad, they both become tummy right away. Again, because since he's not wearing it, it's not a din of beggar, it's anything v'habal abayis that comes into the house. However, hayolavish kelev, if he was wearing his clothing, v'sandeilav beragav, and the shoes were on his feet, v'tabayis be'etzbayisav, and his rings were on his fingers. So hu tamei miyad, he becomes tummy right away, because that's v'habal abayis. V'hein tahirin, but they are tar, they're pure, until he stays the amount of time that it takes to eat an achila of pras, which is a half a loaf, which is the amount that a chamim made the shear for an erev when a person makes an erev tchumen, which is the whole amount of food that's necessary for two meals. And half of that is the food of one meal. That's the amount of time a person has to be to be there that long in the tzaras afflicted house. That is clothing that he's wearing, as it says in the pasuk, that it says, yichabes is begadav, that's when a person is stays in that, in it says v'ho'oichel b'bayis, that he eats there, means the amount of time it takes to eat. So now the Gemara explains that when it says chita in the Torah, that measurement is related to this halacha of the tumma, that when a person has to wait there, the amount of time it takes to eat, that his clothing that he's wearing should become tumma. And how is that? That it says, we learned, pas chitin, it has to be that it was the amount of time that it takes to eat wheat bread, which is eaten very quickly because it's better and it's more geschmack than, let's say, barley bread. But loy pasar, and they're not barley bread. Second of all, it's the amount of time that if a person was eating mesab, that he was reclining, which again is eaten quickly because he's not coming and going, he's, so to speak, in a relaxed state. And third of all, v'oichel b'liftin, that he was eating it with relish. And again, all these different things are are elements of these. This is, so to speak, the quickest a person could eat the shear of achilas pras, which is wheat bread, reclining with relish. That's a small amount of time. Let's say around 3 minutes, or some place can make up to 9 minutes. But that's the quickest one would eat. That's how we see that related to this halacha, the measurement is dependent on chita, because it has to be dafka by wheat bread, because that's the quickest one. So that's the first one of the shlach v'ertzah, which is chita, that's related to this halacha. Sa'ira, regarding barley, that's related to halacha of the tumah that comes from the bones of a dead person. That's not as we learned in the Mishnah. Etzim ki sa'ira mitame b'maga b'masa, that a bone the size of a barley corn, it imparts tumah if someone touches it or if someone carries it. However, ein mitam b'oil doesn't make anything impure if it's under the same roof. And that's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So therefore we see that barley is related to this halacha, that a bone could be metame when it's that size. Gefen, what's the halacha related to a measurement of the size of a grape? That's kedei revis yayin l'nazir. That's the amount of wine for a nazir, which is a revis, that if it were to displace that, that would be considered the shear for a nazir. And that is, as Rashi explains, that if someone eats the pits or the peels of a grape, which are solids, it has to be the shear of, if it would displace a revius of yayin. And that's what it means when it says in the Torah Geffen, that it's that measurement, which is a reference to wine. We use wine and not any other liquid to measure the displacement, to be chayiv that amount, which has to measure revius, if you were eating solids of grapes, which is usher for a nazir. And that is because the shear of a revius of yayin is different than the shear of a revius of water. And that is because since wine is thick and water is more fluid, it's not as thick as wine, so therefore there's more by a revius of wine to have to be displaced than there is by a revius of mayim. As the Gemara Menaches and Shabbos says, that we find by a revius of dam that it could be congealed and it could equal to kezayis, because since it's thick, but something that's more fluid, not as thick as water, that revius would not equal a kezayis. And that's why we say that the shear of gefen is related to this halacha of how much to be chayiv for the displacement of a solid to equal a volume of liquid of revius. That's how much you would be chayiv for to be chayiv on the solid. It would dafka be gefen, not a liquid of, for example, water, which is not as a thicker consistency. The next thing that the pasuk says of the shvach of Eretzel is te'ena, which are figs. What is that related to halacha? That's kegregoris lahitzor Shabbos. That's related to the halacha that for carrying out on Shabbos, one is chayiv what you're carrying it is at least the size of a dried fig. As the Mishnah on Shabbos says, that hamitzi oichlin kegregoris, that the shear of being chayiv for haitzah, of carrying outside on Shabbos, is if it's the size of a gregoris, which is a dried fig. That's why it's related to the shear of te'ena. What is rimen? What is the pomegranate? What's that shear related to in halacha? That's kidna. As you learn the Mishnah regarding purifying a keli, that it's not a keli anymore, that, so to speak, it got broken. What is considered broken for the keli? So the Mishnah over there says, kol kli balibatim, all the vessels, all the kelim of a homeowner, now we continue on to mem alef and beis, shi'uran kiramayim, their shear, the amount the holes in the keli have to be to, so to speak, say that it's not a keli anymore, is the size of a pomegranate. And then if it gets a hole that size, then the keli is tar. We don't consider a keli anymore, and therefore it's not tum anymore. And that is because the homeowners, they're very overprotective of their kalim. And therefore, if it gets the hole of the size of a kidney is, so then they keep it for something that is the size of olives. If it gets a hole the size of an olive, then they keep it for something the size of a walnut. If it gets a hole the size of a walnut, then they keep it for something the size of a pomegranate. But by a professional that's there for selling, then they don't have this shear so high. It's a lower shear. It's only by balabatim, which they, so to speak, they want to utilize it as so to speak, till, so to speak, the horse dies. Then it's up to the size of pomegranates. After that, that's when it's going to be tar. And that's where we see the shear of a pomegranate coming into place in halacha. Then the pasuk says, Eretz Zayit Shemen, the land of olive oil. So Amar B'Yisrael Reb Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shirei Kezesim, it's a land that all its measurements are an olive. So which Gemara asks, Kol Shirei Sokadayetach, do you think every shear in halacha is an olive? You just have all the things you just said, that pomegranate, whatever, that they have different shirim. What's coming to tell you is that it's a land that the Jewish people, the halachas are, that the most of the measurements are the size of a kezias, as the size of an olive. And as we have by when, if one was consumes chaylev, or dam, or nicer, or pickle, all those shiurim are kazayas. And the last one is devash, honey, which is the honey of dates, which is kekoseves hagasa b'yom kippurim, that the shear for being chaya for eating on Yom Kippur is the size of a fat date. That is what the shear of devash is, of dates, that we find that all these different halachas is related not to, as Rabbi Yitzchak said, that to tell you which one comes first in the order of brachas, but it's come to tell you that they're all related to the halachas that come up in our daily lives. We use, so to speak, the prototype, are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. They're the ones that give us the diagram in halacha. So now the Gemara says v'idach, but the other mandam, Rabbi Yitzchak, hani shiurin behedyim miksivi elamid rabbanan. He says, do you think that these measurements are written explicitly in the pasuk? The shiurim amid rabbanan. In other words, rabbanan decided that for chaylev and dam, or for purifying a keli, that it's these following shiurim. They instituted that. But kras machdam alma, and the pasuk is just an allusion to that. They use it as, so to speak, to represent it. But really, the pasuk is coming to tell you the order of the brachas, and it's not coming to tell you, so to speak, that it's only for the shvach of Eitzol regarding the different shiurim and halacha. And that's why he says that it makes a difference which one comes first. It's dependent on the order in the pasuk. And the Gemara brings a similar halacha related to this with the story. Rav Chisda Rav Abnuna Habu Yasi B'Sudasa. Rav Chisda Rav Abnuna was sitting at a meal. Aisu L'Kamayu Tamir B'Rimon. They brought them dates and pomegranates. So Shakal Rav Abnuna, Rav Abnuna took, and Baruch HaTamir B'Reish. They made a bracha on the dates first. So Amalei Rav Chisda, Loisvir Leimar Lohad Amr Rav Yosef V'Temer Yitzchak. Don't you hold to this halacha that we quoted on the previous amid that call a muktim b'pasuk zeh koydim the bracha, which everyone comes first in the pasuk is first to make a bracha on, and rima and pomegranates come first in the pasuk before dates, which is devash, which pomegranates are number 5 and dates are number 7. So Amalei zeh sheni la'aretz v'zeh chamish la'aretz, that the word devash is second in line from the word aretz, which comes, there's two times it says the word aretz. Eretz chitas are given to Einar Riemann. It says eretz shemen zayis devash. So the second time it says eretz, devash, dates, is the second from the word aretz. Whereas the word pomegranate is fifth from the word aretz from the first time that it mentions it. And therefore, since it says eretz zayis shemen devash at the end of the pasuk, that eretz interrupts the order and it starts the order over again. So therefore, olives and dates are more chashuv than pomegranates, because pomegranates is number 5 from the first aretz, and devash is second from the second time. However, Tosis does say that if a person has an option of having either wheat or an olive or barley or dates, although they're equal for the number from the word aretz, the one that's earlier in the pasuk, from, in other words, from the first aretz, comes before the order of the second aretz. However, here where this is number 5 and this is number 2, although it's from the second aretz, dates come before pomegranates. And that is how we pass in the halacha. He says, who would give us feet of iron and then we can go serve you and constantly be following you and going after you? Because it's amazing the words of Torah and wisdom that come out from him. So now the Gemara brings that itma we learned regarding the halacha of peiris be'emtza asuda. What is the halacha regarding eating fruits in the middle of the meal? If they brought a person figs or grapes in the middle of the meal, and that is that these things are not being used for, so to speak, as a condiment for the bread, because then there would be a tafel, it would be secondary, and there no one would argue that it doesn't require bracha, not before and not after. Rather, sometimes these fruit items are being used just as, so to speak, an appetizer, that is just as a dessert or something just that people enjoy, not as, so to speak, part of the meal. So what's the halacha? Amrav huna tu'unim bracha lifneim. It requires a bracha before and again because it's not a tafel, it's not secondary to the bread, and therefore it's not included in the bracha b'maitzi. However, ein tu'unim bracha l'achrayim. It does not require bracha afterward because birchas hamazon exempts the bracha achrayim. It includes the bracha achrayim on the fruits. V'chein amrav nachman tu'unim bracha lifneim, ein tu'unim bracha l'achrayim. The same thing, that it requires a bracha beforehand because it's not a tafel, but it does not require bracha achrayim because birchas hamazon exempts it. Rav Sheshes Amar, Tu'un Bracha Bein Lefneim Bein Lachrim. It says, no, it requires a bracha beforehand, again, because it's a tafel, and even a bracha afterwards, because Birchas HaMazon only exempts something which is Zayin, which is included in Hazanah Sakol, that it's nourishing. But here, these things are not nourishing, it's not considered Mazon, and therefore it won't be exempted. And he follows through, She'en L'chadabah She'toin Bracha Lefanav, Ve'en Ton Bracha Lachrav, because there is nothing that requires a bracha before you eat it, and does not require bracha afterwards, ela pasa bo bekisn mulvat, with the exception of something of bread that comes with kisnin, that's the only exception. And pasa bo bekisnin is a big debate in the Rishonim and the Halacha, what exactly it is. Some say it's a type of a baked good or a snack or something that has some type of jelly or fruit inside of it or pretzels. But these things, they're an exception to the Halacha, that is, the bracha Rishonim will be a Bayim and Mezainis, but the bracha Achreinu will not be an Ala Michya or Bechaz HaMazon, rather it would be as the term of Veloy Klum in Halacha, whenever it's mentioned in the Gemara, means it's going to be the bracha Achreinu of Bayim Nefashis Rabbis, and it will not require anything after it. And therefore that's the one exception, but anything else requires its own bracha of Ala Eit or Ala Michya, whatever it is afterwards. So now the Gemara says, Upligad Reb Chiya, that both these versions that we just brought down argue on Reb Chiya, that is, regarding making the bracha on the peiros in the middle of the Suda, that if you have to make a bracha at all. In other words, everyone agreed that you have to make a bracha beforehand. The question was if you have to make a bracha afterwards. But the Amr Reb Chiya, pas peiros kol min ha'michel, Reb Chiya says that bread exempts all types of food items that come in the meal, because everything is considered as, so to speak, part and parcel of the bread. The yayin poter kol min ha'mashkim. Similarly, wine exempts all types of beverages. We make a bar paragraph, and you don't have to make a shakal on any drink of soda that you're going to have at the kiddush. And therefore, this is a machlokes regarding if you have to make a bracha at all on fruits in the middle of the meal, or if you have to make a bracha at least beforehand, or if you even have to make a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Papa Hilchasa, what is the halacha?" So he says as follows. Dvarm habom machmas asuda b'toich asuda, things that come because of the meal, in other words, as a condiment, it's coming as part of the bread, it's being eaten together with it, and it's during the meal, into the bracha lo lefneim lo lachrem. It does not require a bracha, not before, and not after, and that is since it's a tafel, it's secondary, so therefore everything, whether it's food or whether it's fruit, that it's coming as a condiment for the bread, it doesn't require a bracha, not before and not afterwards. However, if it's coming during the meal, but not because of the meal, for example, if it's porridge or cabbage or beets that they're not being used as condiment for the bread, but it's coming to being used as nourishment, as mazon, and it's making a person satiated, then tu'un bracha lefneim requires a bracha beforehand, because again, it's not secondary to the bread, because it's not eaten together with the bread at all. However, ve'in tu'un bracha lachrem, it does not require a bracha afterwards, because it's included in the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, because it is a mazon. And Birchas HaMazon exempts anything that's something that's mazon, which these things are. But they're not included in the Birchas of Amitzi from beforehand, because it's not eaten with the bread, it's not a tuple to the bread. La'achar asuda, things which are brought after the meal, which are things that are customarily brought afterwards, for example, fruit, or even if it's brought during the meal, but it's not coming as a condiment, then tu'un bracha bein lefneim bein lachrim, then we require bracha beforehand because it's not secondary, and it also would require bracha afterwards again because berachas mazon would not patur because they're not mazon, they're just desserts, they're things that taste good, they're not being used as staples of one's diet, of one's meal, and therefore requires a bracha before and afterwards. Related to this, the Gemara brings that shalob as ben zayma, they asked ben zayma, why did they say that this halacha we just mentioned, the things that come as a result of the meal, during the meal, it doesn't require bracha rishayna and a bracha achrayna? The reason is because since the bread discharges, it exempts the obligation, as we said that it's a tuffle to the bread, and therefore it's included in the berchas hamazno. So that's why you don't have to make a bracha on it. To which the Gemara asked, so they asked ben zayma, ihachi yai namin neftere pas. So therefore, wine should also be exempted by the bread. Why don't we say when you're making hamaitzi and you're making a whole suda, that the wine should also be included to that? It's also part of the meal. So why do you make a separate bracha bei pri hagafen during a meal? So the Gemara answers, shani yain. Yain is different, as the Gemara says on the top of membeis amud aleph. The goyim bracha la'atzman, because it causes its own bracha, and that is many places wine comes during Kiddush and Havdalah or at Chasna, and we make a bracha on it, even if a person's not drinking it because he's thirsty or because he wants the wine, it's, so to speak, it's a chashav thing, and it's used in other mitzvahs, even for its own merits, and therefore it requires its own bracha, even if it's coming during a meal, and because of a meal, it's going to require its own bracha, but everything else is going to be potter from the bread, both from a bracha rishayna, including the bracha v'maitzi, and it's also from a bracha achrayna, it's going to be included in the birchas hamazon.